Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that Fish Tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. One. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that Fish Tank.
Wow.
How about that?
Let's get it started, y'all.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, welcome to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group, Seth Levitt. And I am here at the Casabella Design Group Studios. And we are on Dolphins Talk for the first time ever with Fish Tank Live. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my partner, who is the only live podcaster to lead the NFL in receptions and bowl a perfect game. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, how about that dang intro video?
Man, oh, man. Mike, man, he killed it, man. And, you know, of course, we got the you know, you'll introduce our great producer, Savak, man. But, you know, Seth, what a great way to kick off our new beginning, bro. Honestly, man. I mean, that's how you kick things off, man. I'll be pumped now. I'm going to have a little freestyle rap next time, you know, when we kick it off. Because, I can freestyle, Big Seth.
I'm not familiar with your freestyle game.
Yeah, but I've never done it, Big Seth. That's probably why you're not familiar. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, this is great, man. This is great, bro.
Too good. Well, before we get too deep into the freestyle, and let's make sure that a guy who is a bit of a rapper, if you go Google him, you might find a little bit of his music. He is the Emmy adjacent producer. No, not the legendary Savak, just Savak. What happened to the legend? He's still legendary in our eyes. Savak in the house. And of course, back from paternity leave, the big papa, Chad Van Horn. We've missed you, brother. Welcome back.
Hey.
And congratulations.
Missed you guys, and I'm not gonna lie, that got me hyped up. I'm like a 7% Dolphin fan now.
Here we go. That's better than zero. Better than zero, Chad. That's what's up right there, man.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, great to have you back. There's a rumor that we might get to meet your new teammate. So we'll see if her schedule allows for it.
For sure.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, you know, before we go there, man, let me talk about our new teammate, man. Little Kiara is one of the most beautiful young ladies and babies that you'll ever meet. She's so sweet. She's like, and she doesn't cry at all. Like she does when shit's wrong, literally shit. And you know, and she's hungry, you know, and she's super alert, man. She's absolutely beautiful. She's absolutely amazing. And it was a pleasure when Paula and I got a chance to. Oh, there's pretty girl.
There she is.
You know, my wife is going to kill me for waking her up, by the way. My wife is definitely going to kill me.
All right.
What a beauty.
I had to bring her in.
She is an absolute beauty. She came in over 8 pounds. She came in to almost 22 inches long, man. And she is just a doll baby, bro. So, yeah.
She's a combine phenom.
She is. She's already breaking records, man. You know, and that's.
I love it.
That's what's up right there. Chad's going to get his ass whooped.
He is, and I can't help.
Chad, put your mouthpiece in, man. Make sure you put your mouthpiece in, man. I don't want you losing your chiclets, you know what I mean, when you get punched in the mouth, all right?
I appreciate it. I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Are you hearing that ding? I'm hearing a ding. Savak, what's going on there?
Well, Mike and I came up with a fun little idea. See, Juice, you expressed that you wished to cuss a little less, so we figured we would help hold you accountable. So every time you drop one, you're going to hear one of these.
So we're three in.
I've already cussed already.
We're three in.
Yes.
You said gummit.
We're talking about a newborn. We haven't even started talking about the Dolphins, and we're three in. He's good.
I think we need like a every time like a dollar goes into a jar or something for charity.
How about I need instant replay on the ones that I've already used? I mean, I, you know what? That's a darn shame that I don't even realize that I'm doing it.
That's why we want to help. That's why we want to help.
We definitely do. Well, hey, I think we got.
Wait a minute, hold up, real quick, Seth. How many am I at right now, Savak?
Two. Okay. I think just two for now.
No, I heard three.
You heard three.
Chad's giving you five. I heard three.
We're getting conflicting reports. Just know you are.
I'm about to bring my lawyer in because he did bring out the eyewitness accounts are terrible.
You heard it. You brought out a newborn in a diaper, and I heard two shits and an ass. That's all I got to say.
Oh, ass doesn't count.
Ass doesn't count?
Ass and damn don't count. Hell.
Look, I will give you hell and damn, but ass, I think, only doesn't count if you're referring to a donkey.
Okay. All right. How I refer to it. All right. That makes sense. I'm cool with that.
Well,
can we start over though, fellas? Come on, man.
All right. Well, now you got a warning. You've got a
new beginning.
Okay.
By the way, you know, looking in the chat here, excited to see some folks we're familiar with, and there's some new folks. But Sam Marcoux is on the East Coast, so he's with us at the start of the show, Juice.
Okay.
And he said, "Juice, you're cursing in front of a baby. That's fucking shameful." All right. Couple quick.
Where's the ding? Where's the ding for Seth?
I don't have a ding.
Thank you.
Seth didn't express that he wants to cuss less.
And I waited till Kiara was not in the room. Okay. So a couple things of note, since we are starting the Fish Tank Live now on Dolphins Talk. I did see this morning, there's always great updates. You know, Mike Oliva is always tweeting out really cool stuff, people's birthdays, what have you. Today marks the 56th anniversary of Don Shula being hired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He was hired, I guess, on February 18th, 1970 is the math there, 56 years. And only one of us in the room actually got to play for the winningest head coach in the history of the National Football League. So, Juice, knowing that it was 56 years ago that the Miami Dolphins made their greatest acquisition, I don't think anybody would argue that. Can you just tell us, before we start talking, and there's so much news to talk about with this current Miami Dolphins team, but can you just tell us what it was like, just a minute or two, what it was like to play for Don Shula, even though you got the softest, kindest version of Don Shula that anybody got in his tenure?
Yeah, well go ahead, ring the bell, man. That's bullshit. No. Juice was great, man. He really was an amazing, amazing coach. Obviously, before I got here, all the things that he had done for this organization, you know, we've had guys like Larry Little and all those guys on that played for, you know, the team before Don Shula got here, and you know how they were having, you know, soda breaks and cigarette breaks and all kinds of breaks, you know what I mean, where Don Shula wasn't allowed to drink any water, you know, and that really flipped the franchise around, obviously, in a little bit of time. And like you talked about, the 70s, I heard he was as tough as it gets. The 80s, he was still tough. 90s, he was tough, but he wasn't as, you know, he was current. And so playing for Coach Shula was absolutely amazing. And going from Joe Paterno to Don Shula, well, going from actually my high school coach, Cliff Walton, to Joe Paterno to Don Shula, I was ready to play for a coach like that. And players today need to embrace coaches like that, that are fair. They expect, you know, accountability. They want the most out of you, you know. And that's what you want. And they will coach you up. Don Shula had a coaching staff of about 8 people, Big Seth. These coaching staffs now have 20 plus people.
True. You know what I mean? Saw 24 coaches on the current Dolphins staff. That's almost one for every 2 players.
Correct. Correct. And so what Don Shula was able to accomplish and what he's able to get out of his players was absolutely amazing, man. And I just love the fact that I went from legend to legend, you know what I mean? And then I played for a not so legend, but that's a different story right now, Big Seth. I'm not talking about that guy. We're talking about the great Don Shula, who forever will be one of the greatest football coaches in NFL history. And 56 years later, I can be able to say that guy called me in April of 1993 and asked me, would you like to be a Miami Dolphin? And my response was, I don't know if this word counts, was hell yeah. And so, yeah, that's the dude, the Don, for sure. Toast to the Don.
Very cool. Very cool. We won't ding you for that one. Although, Coach Shula, from what I understand, if there was a dinger in there, that bell would be ringing.
Yeah, or a swear jar, we'd be millionaires.
Yeah. Well, a couple of
again.
You
are. Again.
that's all coming on. Can't have kids and wife, man. I mean, damn.
Come on, ding him up. There we go.
This game sucks.
I think it's a great game. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. All right. So, listen. I mean, it's supposed to be a quiet offseason. We knew it wouldn't be too quiet when you've got an entirely new regime. But holy smokes, Monday comes. And, you know, I hope you have your phone on silent because it would have been buzzing all day long. It would have been like OJ McDuffie with a swear ding the way the phone would have been ringing, because we find out first there's the rumor, because I guess there's speculation that Bradley Chubb has been informed that he will not be with the Miami Dolphins in 2026. It didn't become official because when the press release came out, his name was not mentioned, but I guess it is inevitable. You find out that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, gone, James Daniels, gone, and then the biggest news of the day, of course, the cheetah, Tyreek Hill, gone. Not going to be the Miami Dolphins anymore. So there's a lot to unpack there. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with becoming cap compliant. You know, I listened to a couple different podcasts. If you go listen to KFC, Kyle fucking Krabs, he really breaks down the impact on the there's no ding. I'm not in the game. So he really breaks down what the impact is from a cap perspective. I think there's an impact that's even a greater perspective there. You know, because if I look at the players that were let go, now Bradley Chubb, I thought had a pretty good season bouncing back after missing a whole lot of football from an injury and, was the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. I think when things were really, the wheels were falling off, he was a guy that stepped up as a leader and hopefully tried to get some guys to play for something on the defensive side of the ball. But beyond that, you know, James Daniels, the prize free agent signing of the 2025 offseason, lined up, was going to solidify the offensive line, played 3 plays, and was on a knee, and we literally never saw him again. Right. Never saw him again. Speaking of which, did you see what Kim Bocamper said about James Daniels?
Yeah.
Bo said on Out to Pasture this morning, he said he's a dog. And if he was here, I would tell him to his face, he's a dog. So, yeah. So
Bo's big enough to say shit.
Come on, Savak, you got to get that ding. You're too slow on the ding.
But I feel like dog. I feel like that could go either way. Like, what was the
when a 7-year-old says you're a dog, that means you're a turd. when a 17-year-old says you're a dog, like you're that dude. He's got that dog. Okay. But you know, guys our age.
Makes sense that it depends on how you say it. It's all about
voice,
inflection, and how it comes off. Right? Oh, that dude's a dog.
Yeah.
Oh man, that dude's a dog.
So Shelby said dog or dog shit. I'll repeat that, Juice, so you don't have to get dinged for that one.
I'm gonna start texting when I want to curse, all right? We'll send it to you that way.
Oh my god, the chat's out of control right now. Sam, James Daniels shoulders a book called How to Make Millions in Passive Income. three
hey,
snaps.
You know what though, man? Are you honestly like, I mean, South Florida, South Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, it's become a trap for free agent veterans, man. It really has. A lot of dudes, they get their coin, and next thing you know, we don't hear anything from them, man. And it's a fact, man. And I feel that way about all free agents that come. And I think this new regime is going to be like, nah, we're going to get some people in here that's going to come in and earn their spots. I hope that's the case because this free agent stuff, it's tough down here. Because think about it, Big Seth, you come in here as a rookie and you get paid and you're like, man, you can do stuff every day of the week, 24/7. You come here as a free agent, obviously you got the bag. So now you got the bag and you got South Florida. That becomes a big problem, man. It really does. Like, you go places like Buffalo and you go to places like Green Bay, you know, ain't nothing to do but ball, nothing else. Yeah, thank you, Savak. I knew that wasn't gonna get me. That one, you better not deem me on that one. You know, there's nothing else to do but ball those places, man. You come here, there's way too much going on. But here's the thing about it though. I know some dudes that came here in free agency.
Yeah.
I know. And they burned it on both ends, some of them, but a lot of them just came in bald, man. You know, but of course you're gonna get free agency bums everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. But down here it's a lot tougher, especially if you got a guy or guys that are coming from places where, you know, there wasn't a lot going on, and now they come to Miami. They come to Miami in the offseason. They think it's gonna be like a ball and I can kick it like I do from February to June.
Yeah,
you got to get your mind right down here, man. It's a tough environment for anybody young or anybody that comes in with a big bag, and that's a lot of these phrases that we get.
Is that like, but hold on real quick, is that like somebody that's coming from Happy Valley?
Nah, see, here's the thing about it, Big Chad. You're going to talk all that trash, you know what I mean? Like, we whooped up on the Hall of Western Pennsylvania, including Robert Morris, and we just beat them in hockey, you know what I mean? So we could talk all the trash you want, but here's the thing about it, guys. I've been down here before that. I was already ready for South Florida. You know what I mean? I came down here for 2 bowl games. I came down as a youngin' playing baseball in high school. So, you know, I knew what I was going to get myself into. And let me tell you this, Chad. I was talking about those guys that actually kicked it and balled. I kicked it and balled. I did both. You know, sometimes, and then you know what? Since we're on our first night, Big Seth, you know, and on a new platform with Mike and Dolphin Talk, there were sometimes I went out all night and went straight to the facility and balled that day too. Not on game days, just during the week.
Tell them where you would start that day, Juice, because I you know, it was pretty easy to know what those days were.
Oh, what day of the week?
No, when you first got to the facility, the first place you went.
The training room, steam room, or hot tub, or sauna,
sweat it out,
and then I go to sleep on the training table until they woke me up for meetings. But I could do it. I could do that then. But when I got older, I couldn't do it like that. But when I was, you know, rook, hell, man. Then next Sunday, I run a kickoff back against the Colts. So that next Monday, I run a kickoff back against the damn Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I was able to do it like that.
So. You were, and some guys are, and that's okay. And with James Daniels, you know, if you had told me that he was out all night and he was kicking it on South Beach, then, it would be, well, that's frustrating, and I wish he was more of a professional. But I don't think that's what the issue was. Right. I mean, I'm looking in the chat. So Mike here is saying, Dave Hyde reported Daniels was healthy enough to return to the field this season, but didn't. I'm sure there's a story behind it. Well, that's what we heard as well, Mike.
There's rumors out there.
You were not told that this was a torn pec. You were told it was a pectoral strain. He had a torn pec before, but this was a pectoral strain. And so I think and you never heard of surgery, because if it was a torn pec, they would have gone ahead and sewed that thing up, and then that he would have had surgery and whatever. So this is a guy that had an injury and never came back after three games at a position where they struggled all season.
Right.
That's not a guy you can keep on your football team. It's just
yeah,
not.
It's also a position, Big Saf, or injury. You know, I'm not trying to talk any crap. I was about to use a different word. Any crap about anybody's injuries, right?
This has made the show so much more interesting.
because you know, certain injuries, certain guys and certain positions can play through. Like, take for example, my injury, if I was an offensive lineman, I probably could have played another 4 or 5 years with my toe injury. But being a receiver, I could not. Now, because of, cutting, stopping, going. Now, with a pec, that's probably another issue where for a lineman, if you can't get your hands on somebody and be able to protect Tua, because honestly, that's part of his blind side where Daniels was, that might be an issue as well. Depends on the position. Now, if he'd have torn a ligament in his toe, he might have lasted 5 games instead of three plays. We might have been talking about a whole different scenario right there. But same time, though, it depends on the position. So, a pec strain, doesn't it become, in your opinion, Big Seth or Savak or Chad, could possibly become a pec tear if it's not ready to go? I just don't know, bro. You've seen guys tear their pecs and they're done for a while.
Juice, but if you're 3 plays in, you got to fight through, man. You're still making your way in the league. I get it if you're a proven veteran, which clearly you were at the time of your injury.
And so was Chad.
Got him from Pittsburgh, for crying out loud.
He's a proven vet, too.
He didn't prove shit in Pittsburgh. I watched him in Pittsburgh, so he didn't prove a goddamn thing.
My ding button, man. Let me get some dings in.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. But my dings, I'm cool now. My daughter is learning language right now, so I gotta teach her all the languages. But no, you got to prove yourself to a new squad. You got a new contract. Like, you got to do everything that you can to show the locker room that you're all in. And I think that's the difference. Like, when you got injured, and if somebody's been there for a decade putting their heart on the line, and there's somebody that's 3 plays in, and they're like, I'm just going to sit here and collect a check. Like, that's hard. That's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this too, Chad. I'm going to tell you this too. The veterans really show the young guys what you have to do and what you have to endure and
exactly
what you have to
go
through to be in this league, man. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, that young guys don't understand that because they come from great programs that don't make them, not make them, but don't have them go out there when they're a little dinged up. And so when you see a veteran guy or veteran guys, honestly not doing a bunch of anything other than, collecting a check, that's a tough deal, man. And that's something that you do really don't want in your locker room. And we've had some guys, hell, when I got hurt at the end, I was the first person in line to get my check. Now they get direct deposit now. But back then, I'd put in my 8 or 9 and on the same squad. I didn't just come over from somewhere else and then I just say, I'm just gonna chill now, because they wore me out. The team wore me out. They use and abuse, I was for the most part a willing participant. My toughness, they use it against me, and that's what ended my career. But at the same time, though, man, we teach the youngins what it's about and how you're supposed to go out there and represent yourself on the football field. Because I always say this, Big Seth, you heard me say it a million times, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured.
Yep.
You play hurt, you don't play injured,
So that's what we're talking about here. Yeah, I agree. And so, but you brought up an interesting point, and it's the idea that the veteran players are showing the young guys how to be professionals. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes if the wrong person is showing the veteran, the young guys, then you create a real problem, whether that's with culture, whether that's with performance, whether that's with, you know, attention to detail. And so I'll skip. NWI was almost, I should have looked at it beforehand. He was almost a non-factor all season. There was a lot of hype, a lot of excitement brought in. Yeah. Didn't get a whole lot out of there. So, yes, is there a cap savings with those two guys? But you didn't get a whole lot out of them. I don't even see how you would have put James Daniels back on the field. And that brings me to Tyreek Hill. Because I think, you want to talk about a guy whose circumstances I think were a little polarizing. Obviously, those first 2 years with Tyreek on the field were electric. They were exciting. I want to hear from all of you what your favorite or at least most memorable Tyreek Hill moment was in the time that he was here. But in addition to all of the excitement that we saw on the field, it was a little bit too exciting off the field. And there were also the rumors that he was late to meetings, skipping work days, last guy to come out, on the field. And granted, I heard that when he practiced hard. We know he's a great competitor, but that idea of teaching young people as to what it's supposed to look like, I think it's, you're not going to teach anybody to run 4.15 or whatever Cheetah was running. You're showing them how fast you are, but you are showing them that it's okay to show up to a meeting 20 minutes in and nobody does anything. It's okay that maybe you miss a couple days of work and you still get to start on Sunday. You're showing them that as well. And I think Tyreek Hill was a monstrous problem as much as he was going to be a monstrous, impact on the cap this year. And so I just can't look at those numbers purely as just trying to get the team to be cap compliant, even though that is a huge component of what was made.
Right. There's a bunch of things, Seth, you're talking about that are in effect right here that are working. I had a question this week. Somebody asked me this question this week about should players like lead the locker room? And I say, yes, they should. But some locker rooms have the wrong people leading the locker room.
Right.
And that is a big thing. A lot of times the big money guys, the big play guys are leading the locker rooms, but what kind of examples are they outside the locker room? And of course, Tyreek Hill is a big money guy, but he's also a big time playmaker for this team. But some of the things that he was doing were not good for the locker room. And we sit there, we make guys like that our captains, and you're supposed to look up to them. And I think that that's a problem sometimes. Guys that do things the right way should be leading our team don't have to be the big money makers. They don't have to be the big playmakers. They could be the Alec Ingles. They can be guys like that that do things the right way. In there early, out of there late, every single walkthrough, in meetings, wide awake, paying attention. Those are the guys that you want leading your locker room, and they don't have to be the guys that you see on Sunday that are scoring the touchdowns or making the catches or making the tackles or whatever. I think Jordan Brooks is probably that guy that you always want to be your dog in your locker room.
Agreed.
I even feel like a guy like Jaylen Waddle. I think it's an opportunity for Jaylen Waddle, if he's still around, to be the guy, if he still wants to be around, to be the guy to take over these young guys. He's a vet in that locker room. Who knows what's going to happen in some of those other positions? But, Aaron Brewer on the offensive line, you can't tell me his influence didn't affect Jonas Avayanai and of course, Patrick Paul and all those guys on that offensive line. Even when Austin Jackson came back, Aaron Brewer being a leader of that football team, you've got to have in a locker room the right guys being your leaders, and they don't have to be the big name guys or they don't have to be the guys making all the money. But we had a bunch of guys that were our leaders and our captains that I don't think were the right guys to be leading this team, And that's why a lot of times, sometimes teams have votes for the captain amongst the players, but sometimes coaches assign the captains. I'd rather the players decide who the hell is going to be the captain of my football team, because they know the guys that the coaches don't see that are working hard, that are early, late, all this other stuff, and those are the guys I want leading my football squad, man. And that's why I was proud to be a captain, last part of my career, because I had to wait for some of the other guys that were great. I had great captains. I had great captains. Same thing happened in college. I had to wait for my time to be a captain at Penn State. I had to wait for my time to be a captain in high school. you know, so, but you have great captains ahead of you, and they teach you how to be a captain, and those are the guys you need leading your football team that are doing things the right way.
Juice, real quick. So, Savak, if you want to be legendary, I need you to pull this clip of me saying that the Dolphins should have traded Tyreek Hill when they had the chance.
Well, you should have called him earlier,
please,
Chad.
Please do that.
You want to call him earlier?
We can do it next week.
That should be a dings. Make it
respect. You just want to set our, you want to set our legendary producer up like that, man?
Yes. Second, I don't know if you saw, but Jaylen Waddle, there was a report by an NFL reporter, I forget his name right now, that said he walked into the GM's office, say, if you're cutting everybody, cut me too. And Jaylen Waddle actually liked or followed or whatever that comment on X or whatever it was.
Well, so, he also quote tweeted it and said it was cap. So, I think he might
have. There you go. All right. So I don't want to spread.
You were accurate. He did like it.
That was out there. That was definitely out there.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. Because earlier in the year, he said like he wants to be a Dolphin for life. So I was confused by that as well. So thank you for clarifying that. But I definitely called the Tyreek Hill. I was like, you guys definitely should have just traded Tyreek Hill to Kansas City or whoever would have paid for him. And you've been in a much better spot. Obviously, nobody predicts injury and nobody hopes for an injury.
Right.
Here's
our problem with that situation, Chad. You know, how do we trade him? So we paid him right before he got injured. So how do you can't trade in that situation where that's admitting that, you know, we effed up.
No, you could 100%. You could because like the Steelers needed him. The Chiefs needed him. Like a lot of teams needed him. So it wouldn't have been great, but I think it would have been worth it because he wasn't right for the Dolphins. He needed to go somewhere.
What team would he be right for, Chad? Would you like him to be Kansas in City. Your locker room?
Kansas City,
Pittsburgh. Wait a minute. You said the Steelers needed
Kansas would City didn't want him.
I know. But maybe he learned his lesson. Kansas.
What do you mean, Chad? We're telling you that he did not. He did not learn his lesson. Kansas City got over on us. What they did. They got over on us. What they did. I know we had some fun years with Tyreek. I get it, and I loved it. I loved every minute. I can remember me and Seth and Travis, you know, getting ready for post game and watching that Baltimore game and watching them just go bananas in that game. We had a blast with Tyreek. And I'm not here to bash Tyreek Hill. He's an incredible talent. He's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? He really is a Hall of Famer. But at some point, you know, you've got to look at some of the things. And I always say this, like, when talent outweighs the problem, you keep the talent. When the problems outweigh the talent, then you got to let the talent go. You know what I mean? That makes sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, compared to the Mike Wallace signing, I mean, this wasn't really that bad, right?
Well, we took him from y'all, and man, no, we're not even going to go there. Right,
we can move on. I don't make Juice lose more money.
Conversation, man. Please don't do that to me, man. He had a great time down here, but he was fast. But I mean, come on, man. Why are you killing my wide receivers, Chad?
Where Chad brings up a good point, though, I just to get back to this thing with Tyreek, is you had a guy that obviously had two 1,700-yard seasons. He was voted as the number one player in all of football by his peers, right? Did drop some key passes in some key moments, even in that 2023 season. The Kansas City game, you know, that was supposed to be the big – I mean, he got exposed in that game. Okay. They beat his ass. Like, they knew exactly what to do. And then the Philly game, dropped the ball in the end zone, hit him right in the hands, you know, had some big drops and big moments. And then the off field stuff, his house is burning down, all the different things. I don't even want to get into getting into some personal life, but constantly having the arrests and this and that and the other thing. And then let's not forget that he sat himself down in the last game of the season at the end, right, of the 2024 season. Said he didn't want to be a Dolphin anymore. He was done, right? Get me out of here. He said all of those things. Like that to me was the time. Exactly. Deuces. I'm with you, Chad. That was the time to say, it's just not working here. There's too much. It's when the problem outweighs the talent, Juice. I think that's what it was. And he came back another year. Horrifying injury. I never like seeing anybody get hurt. But I just thought it was addition by subtraction. He just had too many other problems to overcome. So huge cap number, but also a guy that had just become a problem. And if you're a new head coach and a new general manager, why do you want to deal with that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you don't have to. And that's, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, that gave them that luxury, honestly, of being able to do, make the moves they've made, Big Seth. When a new regime comes in, they have no loyalty to anybody, nobody at all. You know, reminds me when Jimmy Johnson came in to the Dolphins and we had to, me, only one that was untouchable was Dan Marino. You know what I mean? The rest of them, the rest of the guys, they had, we had to all go out and show and prove. And he got rid of a lot of guys. Remember all the guys that he got rid of? Kind of same situation. I think the Urban Friars and the Keith Bowers, no, Keith, all those guys were, they were let go. Brian Cox, I think, Troy Vincent. I think all those guys were pretty much let go, you know what I mean, when Jimmy Johnson came in. For one, our cap situation was kind of similar. We had a lot of guys make a lot of money, older veterans, and Jimmy wanted to get younger, and he did a good job of that. You know, he really did a good job of getting some younger guys in. That's where these guys are at. There's no loyalty to these current players, and they shouldn't have any. It should be open competition on every single position, including the guy that's cleaning up the locker rooms. Everybody should be on notice that this is going to be a new, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to ask for anybody to get fired because they do a great job in that facility. And that is all we did. Everybody there is absolutely amazing. I still walk in that locker room or that building, and the love is still there, man, from, you know, from going in through the gate to – going into as far as they let me go because I have limited access right now. But it's not like it used to be.
Whoa. You have limited access? I mean, I was there.
Because I'm in the media now, Chad. And because I'm in the media, I don't get alumni treatment like I used to, man. And that's a bunch of BS. Savak, ding that.
You're no fun now. Maybe we're going to get rid of the ding.
I was at an event with you where I got some caviar and I got some champagne. So they took care of me. So I don't even know what the next level is to that. So like,
but you know what? That wasn't an official Miami Dolphins kind of in the locker room event because I sit up in the stands watching training camp, sweating my ass off to Vogdin that. You know what I mean? Being on the field, sweating everything off. You know what I mean? So it's like a whole different world now, man. But you know, I just think that no matter what. No matter what, man, we have a new regime like we've had over and 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 over again since I've been a Dolphin that has no loyalty to anybody. So they hopefully they go out there and get the guys they know that are going to be the right guys in the locker room, Big Seth, that are going to be the right guys that, you know, because these guys have done it right in Green Bay over and over again. And so the fact that these guys are also – you know, they can say, well, you know, they've only been there a couple years. You know, JAS has been there forever. You know, Sully's, you know, Sully's been there forever. And then half
decades. You
know, yeah, exactly. So they know how to get things right, man. And I just hope they get the right guys in the locker room and they end up electing the right leaders for that football team. And those are guys that'll make that be a locker room, you know, for the players. Like, Don Shula never walked through the locker room. Never. He let us handle the locker room because we had some veteran guys that can handle it. Jimmy Johnson took pride in walking through the locker room and, you know what I mean, and poking his little chest out. You know what I mean? And so it's like, bro, you know, you intimidate some. You don't intimidate me. And Don Shula didn't try to do that. Don Shula wanted the veteran players and the players to run that locker room. And, of course, we came up short multiple times. But, hell, I guarantee we were in the playoffs. I guarantee we were either winning the AFC East or, you know, or right there to win the AFC East. And I guarantee we're going to get every other year at least a playoff win. Sure, we came up short, man. But we were a team that was led by players because we had great players that were our leaders.
You got the last playoff win, right, for the Dolphins?
I did. Big one-hand catch, Big Chad.
I remember.
Big one-hand catch. And I think I got a couple good blocks, too, player.
Yeah, it was three. I remember it.
Well, I got the game-winning block. That's all that matters.
No, it was 3 years old is what I was saying. What happened?
Damn.
messed up. That's messed up. Juice.
Well, Sabak was a swimmer then. He was a swimmer. He wasn't even
He wasn't even born yet.
Juice, we got someone in the chat that says they met and talked to you years ago at Kokomo Dance Club Bartenders Weekend.
Oh,
can we confirm or deny?
That sounds dangerous.
I can't. My lawyer's here.
Is there a paternity?
I can't talk about anything that went on in Bartenders Bash because I wasn't there.
Is this a paternity test for you? Is this a like are we looking for child support?
Oh, they're over 18. Hey, they're over 18 by now, Chad. It's a done deal. They're well over 18 by now, brother. I'm pretty clear now.
Let me try.
Yeah, Big Seth. We had a blast down in Isla Mirada for Bartenders Bash. I mean, something that we could not do this day and age because there's camera phones and there's too many witnesses, you know what I mean? But nothing illegal. It was just risque, if I can use that word.
There's no ding for that, for sure.
Ding them.
Not for risque. It's all good. So we just talked about all of these moves. There's one more big move that needs to be made. One more ridiculously large decision, right? The 800-pound whatever in the room. And it's Tua Tagovailoa and the nearly $100 million that he's still owed. The fact that he was the starting quarterback who got benched. The fact that, you know, look at whatever all the ratings are. His performance last year had him ranked among the worst players at his position in the league. What do they do? What we're hearing, the speculation is that the Dolphins are seeking a trade partner, right? That they're trying to find someone that will trade, give up some kind of draft compensation, and the Dolphins are still going to have to write a huge check for him to go away. That's what we're hearing. What do you guys think they should do with Tua?
Now let me start with this because you guys aren't expecting this. I'm thinking they should trade Kyler Murray straight up. Like one problem for another problem. And like that's it. Like you take my problem, I take your problem, and we see what happens because clearly it's not working out from either side. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but at least the anger doesn't go towards that, and it will relieve some of the salary cap implications of it. But I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point, Ted. I think, I mean, for me, you know, I think that, you know, and look, everybody talks to us, Chet, Seth, like we're like some Dolphin homers. And I am a Dolphin homer. I am a Dolphin homer. But Tua's been great to me. He's been great to us. But, you know, right now we're talking about my football team, you know. And I think searching for trade partners, I don't think it's possible. It really isn't. And even if we eat some money, which we should be willing to do that. But where would Tua go? Tell me where he's going to go. Where, you know, we know that he doesn't like playing in the north or the northeast or any cold weather. We know that he's limited now in terms of his agility, which is unfortunate. Everybody's worried about the next hit being the last hit. Where would you find a trade partner for somebody at that position where you got to invest a lot of money in, even if we ate a lot of it, you know? But if anybody's willing to trade and we can eat some of it instead of having to pay the whole thing by letting him go, I'm all for that, man. But who'd be willing to do that? That's my
Arizona
question.
Well, I think that's Sully's question too, right? You know, can they find somebody? And it is a position of desperation across the league. I heard, and I hate to bring him up because I'm not a fan, but I thought he was really good today on Joe Rose's show, was Pete Prisco. And he talked about how desperate people are for quarterbacks in the National Football League. And the fact that Malik Willis could potentially be a $20 to $30 million guy a year. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's all
Big Seth. You talk about that, Big Seth, but you know, they're desperate. Yeah, you see a Philip Rivers come out of retirement after, you know, to honestly get some, hopefully some health insurance, you know what I mean, which is amazing. We got the best health insurance in the world for 5 years.
I wonder
years.
If that resets his Cobra, like, for,
you know, I hope it does. I hope he's set for another 5 years, bro. You know what I mean? Because that's then they cut you off and you're on your own and you got to look for some sorry ass insurance that costs you $18,000 a month.
Damn, look at it. Got him again. Hey, Juice, your arm is live, man. Why don't you make a comeback too? I don't
you know, I can throw things, man. I was the emerging quarterback for six games 1 year. You know what I mean? I was that dude, man. When if you come for me, then I'm in shotgun. I'm gonna take the sack like Tua. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Yeah,
but legitimately, I would put you against Philip Rivers this year. I think you're going to be a close to similar performance.
Oh, my arm is definitely better than Philip Rivers right now. I mean, my arm is still sick.
I don't know if you're trash talking. This is good.
I can, you know, he's great. Duck gummit, you know what I mean? I can still spin it though. Still spin it, Chad. You know, but back to what I was saying though, which I forgot because, you know, I've been hit too many times in the head. So whatever I was saying, Savak, remind me, please.
Well, let's just do this. Let's just move into the next segment because we're rolling here. Yeah, we don't have to remember.
See,
by the way, I just love this shirt that you're wearing. Thank you for the respect.
Well, yeah, let me talk about this shirt real quick,
please.
Can I please? So yeah, I rock this shirt, man, because what you and JT and Monica are doing with the foundation, man, has always been special to me. I get a special invite to every single thing you guys do. Every single thing. You guys have been doing it big for decades now. And it's been amazing to see the growth, the way you guys have changed some things. And I know this weekend you have your poker event
with
the Jason Taylor Foundation out of Smoke on the Water out in Weston. And I can't wait to knock Chad Van Horn out of the event. You know what I mean? Because you got one guy over here that's won a championship. You got one guy over there that hopes he can win a championship. If he gets on the same table with me, he's the first guy I'm going for.
Wow.
I'm going for Chad Van Horn and Van Horn.
Put a bounty on his head?
And when I get this trophy, I'm going to put it on his front desk at his big ass office. Thank you.
Yeah.
Downtown Fort Lauderdale, and it's going to have my name on it, and Chad Van Horn is going to be the one saying, damn, I doubted Juice.
So I'd have to move over my dunk contest trophy that you'll never win and my three-point contest trophy for you to make room for that. But, yeah, all right, cool, whatever.
Well, yeah, you know what, Chad? I'm 20 years older than you, man. You should be winning those contests. I'm a sit-down kind of guy. I play games that you sit down and relax and enjoy. You know what I mean?
But
you want to run around and tear your ACL and Achilles? Go ahead, bro. I'm not doing that.
Or a hamstring like his teammate did.
Take a breath. First off, I'm white and you're not.
Oh,
so like,
we need, all right. Now we got the race card going.
So like, obviously you're more athletic than me. I get it, but I try harder.
Christian McCaffrey begs to differ.
Well, he's definitely not white.
Right, we're totally shifting gears here. Let's move into, first of all, thank you. Yo, very
back
much
again, Seth.
I look thank forward you, to seeing both you me. And Chad thank at you. At the poker tournament this weekend. And anybody else who's in South Florida, come on out to Smoke on the Water. The tables are sold out, but still for $25, you can get in. You get a couple drink tickets. Have a great time. Juice will be there. Kim Bocamp will be there. Chad Van Horn will be there. Should be a lot of fun. And we're going to see. Let's have a little side wager here. A little side wager between Juice and Chad.
All right. Well, Chad, what you got?
Whoever lasts longer in the tournament.
I'm going to beat your ass. And that's it.
Okay. Well, we'll figure out who lasts longer pre-rebuy. Because there are rebuys for the first 2 hours. So and you guys can rebuy as much as you want.
No. I'm rebuying all night. And okay. I'm just going to beat, beat OJ's ass. That, man.
You know what? Yeah. Hey, Seth, do you guys take EBT cards?
Yeah. You know, I'll rebuy for OJ because I'm gonna be taking his money anyway. And with short people, like I really wanna like prop them up. So I want OJ to get elevated. So I'm gonna do his rebuys for him.
You know what, Chad? Look, I've won this tournament before. It was online. I remember that, Seth, 2020.
Yeah. You did win the virtual tournament during COVID, yes.
I was killing it. You know what I mean? I plan on doing the same thing this time, man. I don't want Chad Van Horn's money yet. Let me get it another time when
we do at the Jason Taylor Foundation. We'll tell you, we definitely do. No. All right. Yeah. So we will find out more. If you're here now, come back next Wednesday and we'll find out who lasted longer in the poker tournament and if either Chad or Juice was able to take home and win.
I guarantee it's gonna be
bring in the bracelet. You can bring in the bracelet. Let's roll and I tried to tell y'all before.
I'm taking your SUV.
Oh, you like it. Huh? I like yours too. So listen. You know, pink slips. You know what I mean? Seth, talk about the pink slips that we had. You know what I mean? We had some guys do pink slips on the team.
We did. But just, I want to know if
Anthony
you have
Harris that, versus like Anthony Harris. You know, Terrell Buckley. Pink slips, Chad.
So, Chad, I don't know if you know the story, and we'll say it really quickly, then we're going to roll into trying to tell y'all. But Anthony Harris, who was a linebacker, raced Terrell Buckley. Ant wanted to race everyone. He was fast for a linebacker. He was fast. But he raced Terrell Buckley. And they put truck for truck. They put up their literally put up their pink slips truck for truck. Anthony Harris had this tricked out truck that he had spent all kinds of money, California Customs. He got it all loaded up, the whole nine. And he's not going to beat 175-pound Terrell Buckley. Like, he's just not going to beat a defensive
like back. At the practice facility?
After practice, everyone, they took off their pads, shorts. Ant always took his shirt off, you know. And literally, it was like out of a movie. The entire team, and at this point, there's 80 guys on the roster because it's training camp, and they're all lined up on the sidelines. Jimmy Johnson loved this kind of stuff. A lot of coaches wouldn't tolerate it. Jimmy did like – he just loved all shit-talking and all this kind of stuff. So then we get out there, and it's T-Buck versus Anthony Harris, and they get going. And Ant comes out of the gate strong, but that sniper got him. He says
– oh, no!
Pulled him a little bit. He got a little twinge in the hamstring. T-Buck beats him. He wants the truck. Ant has to give him the keys. T-Buck goes to drive the truck home, and Anthony Harris puts the low jack on and shuts the truck down. T-Buck pulls out of the Davey facility. I don't even think he gets past the Pollo Tropical. He
didn't get very far at all.
He doesn't get past the Pollo Tropical. He has
this
to
is so the good. Car
on the side of the road. He just leaves it on the side of the road, gets a ride back to the facility, and gets his own truck. And that was the end of the story. So there it is. All right, let's roll in. I tried to tell y'all before we lose the audience here. We're still rolling here on Dolphins Talk. It's exciting to be on Dolphins Talk. I'm having a good time out.
It is.
And Juice, you're going to kick us off, even though I know it's new home. Are we going to keep the same format?
Yeah, I'll go first, Big Seth.
All right.
All right, you ready for me?
Let's do it.
All right. I tried to tell y'all, don't come for me. Not you guys specifically. And Big Seth, I struggle with that word. I struggle with that word. So for me, that's a big word like mayonnaise. All right. That's a big word like mayonnaise, right? But back in the day, people have always tried to come for me, right? And usually those guys get knocked the fuck out by Big Bo or my boy Pooh, right? But
this could be a double ding.
I'm not talking about those guys. And even today on social media, people try to come for me. I'm not talking about them either. I'm talking about the guys that come for me in my Miami Dolphins receiver history.
Mm.
You know, I'm very proud of my position in receiving yards behind Mark Duper, Super Duke, who has 8,869 yards. Mark Clayton, my boy Clayton, who has 8,643 yards. Nat Moore, we call him Mr. Moore. Because that's our elder statesman, who has 7,546 yards. And yes, Chris Chambers, my man CC, who has 5,688 yards. All my guys. These are all my guys. I sit fifth with that group at 5,074 yards. Big Seth, Savak, and Chad. But next, I take a lot of pride in my position for career receptions for the Miami Dolphins. Mark Clayton has 550. Mark Duper has 511. Nat Moore has 510, and your boy Juice has 415. So I sit fourth there. So let's go back in time, y'all. Chris Chambers was sitting on 405 grabs with the Fins. And what happened to him? He was traded midseason.
Gone. Cam Cameron shipped him out.
Don't come for me. Jarvis Landry, he was sitting at 400 grabs with Miami. And what happened to him? he got traded
to shitty Cleveland.
Come for me. And hold on for a second. Let's fast forward. Tyreek Hill has 4,733 receiving yards with Miami. That puts him right behind me. Easily, he could have eclipsed me last year had he not gotten hurt, and definitely would have passed me this year if he hadn't been released by the team.
Wow.
Don't come for me. And finally, my man, this is my guy right here, Jalen Waddle, who I absolutely love.
Oh, damn.
He sits at 5,039 receiving yards, a mere 35 yards shy of my mark, a feat my pregame show co-host Steve Goldie Goldstein actually pointed out to me in the show that he was the next guy that's going to take over. In that game, Jalen Waddle got hurt and didn't finish the game. And then he didn't play in the season finale.
Wow.
And now, like Chad talked about, he allegedly wants out. Seth says his cap.
The Juice Bambino.
Cool. Bottom line for this is don't come for me. So bottom line, when it comes to trying to overtake me in Dolphins record books,
you got to move on.
You guessed it. Don't come for me. I tried to tell y'all.
Wow. So I hadn't paid it with all the news. I hadn't paid attention to that. Travis Wingfield right now is just shuddering in his sleep when he found out that Waddle might now be on the chopping block just because of that reason. What I don't know is it a curse? Or do you have that red phone? If you ever watched the old Adam West Batman, that Commissioner Gordon would call. Does Juice have the red phone when he puts in the call and says they got close enough?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's the curse of the Bambino Juice. And it's also that Juice can call Mr. Ross whenever he needs something done. And Mr. Ross takes care of things. And I don't know what happens with billionaires, but they seem to make things happen. And
well, especially when it's their team, right? He owns the team.
Hey, Chad and Seth, don't come for me.
I like it. All right.
It was a great last episode with you guys. It was fun.
Let's let you go next, man. You get a chance. Batman Born, what did you try to tell us?
I tried to tell y'all it wasn't going to be an issue sleeping with a new baby. Mm. And I double tried to tell you I was goddamn wrong. This baby is emotionally, physically exhausting, but I wouldn't change anything in the world for it. She is the best baby in the world. She is like teaching me everything I need to know. And I am so in love with this baby, and I am so thankful for Uncle OJ and all the support from family and friends. So thank you, and thank you, thank you.
Kiara's my girl, Kiara.
Very nice. Cheers to Chad Van Horn and the Van Horn crew and little Kiara. Savak, what did you try to tell us?
You sure we got time for me? It's already
because I'm going to go still.
All right.
We can go over. I don't think Michael Leva's back there somewhere. Mike, are we good? Can we go over?
You can absolutely go
over. All right. There he is.
He is. Sure. Then, all right. You know, I figured this week, with a lack of better things to talk about, that I'd take a stab at what the team will do with the quarterback situation and more specifically Tua. So it's interesting. We talked about it earlier. I didn't get the chance to say anything on the subject. Now, thankfully, I didn't have to come to the conclusion myself. Through the use of our powerful AI technology, I was able to plug in some info and get some clarity. And as much as Big Seth hates the description of them building Green Bay on South Beach, I'd love to know why, but we can get back to that. Knowing that they are likely adopting the Green Bay mindset moving forward, we can theoretically look at the last 35 years of Packers football and determine what their likeliest course of action will be at the quarterback position. And interestingly enough, the Miami Dolphins room already structurally resembles a Packers-style quarterback room. One depreciating starter, one developmental bet, and one reclamation backup. And assuming that no trade partner is found, because as we talked about a second ago, let's face it, his stock isn't great these days, and when you add in his monster contract, most teams are probably going to look elsewhere, which means most likely actions would either be to cut him or to keep him for one more year. And at this particular junction, where they have to pay him regardless, I think they're likelier to keep him on as a high-priced insurance policy. And honestly, although we would never wish such things on anyone, this is football, and players get hurt. So there's always the possibility that a starter goes down mid-season and then suddenly Tua's not looking so bad. So if a team like, say, Minnesota came calling, somebody in the chat pointed them out and was like, should send him over there, reunite him with Flores. Or if the Saints could come calling, if Tyler Shuck goes down, we might be able to recoup some draft capital. So I know you guys, I hear you secretly wondering to yourself, so who starts for Miami? Well, history would suggest that they'll want to give Quinn Ewers a good look. And that's assuming they don't draft a guy. Of course, we know this isn't a great QB draft. But what about Malik Willis? All signs on the surface point to him joining Half and Sully down south. But that wouldn't really be a Packers type of move. You see, he was the reclamation backup in Green Bay. And if we could depend on him being the quarterback he appeared to be in his limited action this year, that's the kind of move a team makes if they think they're ready to win now and they're just a quarterback away. Do y'all think that's where this team is right now? Especially given all these recent departures. Even still, Miami shouldn't enter a bidding war for him, and I'm assuming he'll have, you know, a few suitors and a couple that'll probably offer him more money than Miami will. And I'm always in favor of players going and getting their money. Make your paper, boo-boo. Do your thing. But I think the two parties will likely just give each other a knowing nod, like two super buff dudes passing each other in the hallway at the gym, and then continue going their separate ways. So I'm predicting they'll roll with Ewers as the starter, with the backup to be determined pending the draft. So put a pin in this one, guys, so that we can circle back around when I can say, I tried to tell you.
A preemptive, okay, I tried to tell y'all.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, let me do a quick, I tried to tell y'all, Savak had a lot of words that he was saving for like episodes.
He did say he used ChatGPT.
That he just unleashed.
I didn't use it for that. No, I used to get the info. Don't worry, all of that was typed with these bad boys.
Oh it man, came
straight from the follicles.
All right, Big Seth, what you got?
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the curse of the Juice Bino, as Chad referred to it, because I think there's something fishy going around in Dolphins land as well. And I tried to tell y'all that nice guys finish last, especially in the National Football League. And no, I'm not referring to Mike McDaniel, who by all accounts was indeed a nice guy. What I am referring to is the team's annual PFWA Good Guy Award. So since 2001, members of the Professional Football Writers of America recognize an NFL player in their city for his qualities, they say in quotes, qualities and professional style in helping pro football writers do their jobs. On January 1st of this year, Bradley Chubb was recognized by the Miami Dolphins media contingent as the team's good guy. Well, on February 16th, news broke that the Dolphins' good guys' days as a Dolphin are likely numbered. Nice guys finish last. Now, I know what you're thinking, forging a narrative around a little recency bias, right? Well, let's dive a little deeper, because that's what we do in the fish tank. I've referenced 2001. And in that first year, Zach Thomas was chosen as the good guy. And what a perfect choice. Zach spent another six seasons as a Miami Dolphin. And not only was he a good guy, but he was an all-time great player, as evidenced by his forever home in Canton. But then things get a little sticky. In 2002, our guy Mark Dixon is selected as a good guy. We love Mark Dixon, but then he was out of football. In 2003, Larry Chester was selected as the good guy, and then he only got one more season. He had to turn in his Miami playbook. In 2004, David Bowens, Debo, squeezed 2 years out of Miami from being a good guy, but then he was gone. 2005, Vonnie Holiday and Ricky Williams shared the award. Ricky, well, he was shipped to Toronto the next year. And Vonnie, we're going to get to him in a minute. 2006, Kevin Carter, he won the award. And then he had to hit 75 north to Tampa after accepting the award because he was done as a Miami Dolphin. 2007, Andre Goodman, and one more year and done. 2008, Vonnie Holiday climbed back up into being the good guy, and that was his last year in Miami, done. 2009, Greg Camarillo, last season as a Miami Dolphin. 2010, Ronnie Brown had been here for 6 years. He won the good guy award, and then he was released. 2011, Jeremiah Bell, his eighth season as a Dolphin. And then he was gone. 2012, there were two good guys, Reggie Bush and our guy, Richie Incognito, who, if you haven't listened yet, go check out The Fish Tank. It's a great interview. Reggie was packing his bags immediately after collecting the award. And Richie, well, hell, you know what happened in 2013. He didn't make it through the end of the year. And he was damn near banned from the league.
What did Richie do wrong? I don't understand. Well, I was hanging out with him at AMSO. I was hanging out with him at AMSO having drinks. He's a nice guy.
Absolutely.
He talks about AMSO.
He was a good guy. He won the good guy award. All right. 2013.
What did I miss?
Speaking of Mike Wallace, he collected the award in 2013, and then he had one more year, and we shipped him out. 2014, Jared Odrick, gone. 2015, Mike Pouncey, a team captain, one of the 50th greatest players in the team history. In 2 years, he was gone. 2016, Michael Thomas, gone after one more season. 2017, Jermond Bushrod wins the award, turns in his aqua and orange, heads back to New Orleans, and he's out of football. Next thing you know, he's doing radio. He's got our job, Juice. He's doing radio. Does.
Took our post-game show.
2018, T.J. McDonald. I remember T.J. McDonald. He was out of football after winning the award. 2019, Jerome Baker, he outlasted. Maybe he really was a good guy. Made 4 years. Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2020, gone. Mac Hollins in 2021, barefoot walking into the Raiders the next year. 2022, Teron Armstead. He lasted a few more years, and now he's a podcaster. 2023, Raheem Mostert breaks the record for most touchdowns in the history of the Dolphins in a single season. One more year and gone after winning the Good Guy Award. 2024, Calais Campbell gone at the end of the season. So there you have it, guys. If you know Hal Habib, the president of the Miami PFWA chapter, somewhere he's in the Hard Rock parking lot screaming, "The Madden curse ain't got shit on me," because when he gives you that award, you better get ready because your Miami Dolphins days are done. What do we take away from all of this?
Perhaps don't be a good guy.
It was a rhetorical question, Chad. Let me get through the damn thing. Perhaps the Dolphins don't like guys who cooperate with the media. Or perhaps the media targets players they want to get rid of and they give them the old okey-doke by honoring them as good guys. Or maybe, just maybe, in the National Football League, nice guys finish last. And good guys, well, hell, they're just finished. I tried to tell y'all.
Oh.
Deuce. we really know what's going on here.
Oh, I like that, Sam. I like it.
I love facts that back up, but
that backup conspiracies,
right? Yeah, it is a complete conspiracy because anyway, I don't want to go into.
I never won that award, obviously, but I probably could have.
But Juice, this is my theory. This is my theory, and it might be complete bullshit. Is people that are doing really well. Like Raheem Mostert, who won my fantasy football league for me. Thank God. Love you, Raheem. When you're doing really well, you do some good shit for the community because people care about you showing up. Like when OJ's leading the league in receptions, people are like, OJ, I need you to show up to this. And he shows up and they're like, oh my God, OJ's a god. But if the next year he's seventh in receptions, it's not the same. Mm. It doesn't mean OJ's a different person. It just means that they have a different platform, in my opinion. And Seth, you would know about the platform better than I would in OJ, obviously. But it's just a perception of the outside world, which is crazy because clearly these are the 0.01% of athletes. And when you see somebody score 23 touchdowns or whatever Raheem Mostert scored,
yep,
and OJ has 900 catches or whatever he had, and these guys are like, we need this guy, but no offense to OJ or Raheem, but the 11th wide receiver or the 11th running back are very comparably talented. It was just a different situation and whatever, but they were that guy. They were the one that led the league. So they get these opportunities that other people won't get, and they take advantage of them. And from all accounts, I think Raheem and obviously OJ is incredible. And Raheem seems like an incredible guy, and I'm glad he got that exposure.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really will. And, you know, and Seth, we could talk about, you know, we if you guys haven't had a chance, go back and listen to our podcast with Raheem. And he was shocked that he got let go by the Dolphins. Yeah. He felt absolutely. He was blindsided. He really was. And we felt the same way. We didn't get it either. You know, a great, great guy that was a real big influence for, you know, the guys like Devon Achane and guys like that. You know what I mean? So it was so I'm with you, Chad. You know what I mean? I'm with you. I think Raheem was a pillar down here in South Florida when it came to community, you know, teaching the young guys, the true professional. But I'm going to tell you this, though, y'all. And ding me already.
Here we go.
Professional sports. It's that dog eat dog is that. It's that cutthroat, man. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? And a lot of guys that Seth talked about, probably up in years, up in contracts, up in all that shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's tough. It really is, man. But you also talk about veteran guys. Usually the veteran guys are the best guys when it comes to the media, Big Seth, because they know how to handle it, man. They know what's more important.
Yeah. Well, I think if we really wanted to sit here and dissect the conspiracy, that's a big part of it, that you've got guys that have gotten not comfortable in the sense that they don't feel like they have to work hard, but comfortable in that locker room, comfortable in their own skin, understanding the value of having a voice, being a vocal leader for the team, seeing there are younger guys that aren't prepared to talk or whatever it might be, and so they can step up to the mic and handle those things, and they're cooperative. And so I think that could be part of it. But with that is, we know it's a young man's game, and yeah. I think that's yeah. what I took from what Chad was saying. It's certainly what you're saying as well, Juice. Yeah. So I'm sure that is part of it. But I don't know. It's a little bit more fun to think that.
I like, man, that's crazy. No, the irony is what it is. Like, a lot of people think that the Dolphins ain't won nothing because Jimmy Johnson stomped on Don Shula, and that's probably factual.
Well, there's people who think the Dolphins haven't won anything because Mercury Morris buried a voodoo doll.
That too. There's a bunch of shit. We just got to figure out some way reason why we ain't won shit.
Yeah.
Bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then
pass on that. Before we get out of here,
yeah,
I gotta ask a serious. This is a serious question for all you guys. All right, now I know we sit here and we have a great time and we always joke around, and you know, and I love our chat has been blowing up. You guys have been amazing in the chat, you know, and it's nice to have some new people in the chat. We love where we're at with Mike. And Dolphin Talk, and you know, this has been absolutely amazing first night doing this. But my question is this: Savak, where did your cars finish in the Daytona 500? Because they look like they didn't move, they ain't done shit.
I'm going with Chad's answer there. 10th. Okay, one of them finished 10th, the other one didn't place.
That's pretty funny. I was in too. I thought it was, I thought you were going to get like all serious and kind of old guy emotional on us. You know, I thought you were going to pull that move.
I made him put that back up for that reason alone.
That's good.
Put the cars back up, man. Put the cars back up.
No, and I appreciate you doing that because Seth was upset that we were going to talk about the lawsuit against the foundation for that torn hamstring. Because the field wasn't right during that wiffle ball tournament.
I don't think, and I didn't go to law school, Chad. You're the lawyer here in the group. I don't think that – you have any legal grounds for being like, you can't sue someone for being unathletic.
However,
uh-huh.
I think we need a sidebar here.
This is not the Vandalin legal zone that I was expecting.
No, I can sue you for talking shit about my best man at my wedding. That's the great thing about America. No. That's the great thing about America is you can just sue people. They don't have to do shit. Like I'm suing Savak tomorrow because like, look at his headband. Like that's some bullshit. I'm suing him tomorrow. That lawsuit is going to be delivered to his doorstep, and he has to respond. Like it just looks like bullshit. So you will be served tomorrow. It's okay.
Chad, and Sam has asked if we can get in touch with Perk to discuss the merits of this lawsuit that you're filing.
No, Perk has already been evicted. I tried to stop. I tried to tell y'all I was going to stop his eviction. It did not work. Oh, no. His association won.
Well, he used the excuse that he had to go to a work event, so maybe that's really maybe he's cleaning his shit out
of McDonald's.
Yeah. He's actually sleeping on my couch right now. Oh. And I love the guy. And I appreciate you introducing me, but I didn't think he'd be sleeping on my couch.
Wow, boy.
Can he change diapers?
As long as he changes the diapers for Kiara, we're good. Like he's basically abuelo right now. He's good.
Abuelo Perk. Well, that's what we got for those of you who made the move from our YouTube channel. Over here to Dolphins Talk to find us. Thank you for hanging out with us. Yeah. For those of you who are new and you just found us for the first time, this is how we get down. We like to have fun, but we definitely like to talk about our Miami Dolphins, so we hope you enjoyed it. And for those of you who are still sitting over at our YouTube channel on the Fish Tank side, which is an active channel, and you don't know where we are, shame on you. You just missed the whole damn show. But maybe in about a couple of days you can get it. Richie Incognito, if you haven't heard the episode yet, you can listen to it on the Fish Tank, our Apple, our Spotify, or if you want to watch it, even if you listen to it, you can watch it again. It's going to premiere. The video is going to premiere right here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel tomorrow. Mike, you have to tell us what time that's going to drop. And the audio will also be available. If you're already subscribed to the Dolphins Talk channels, you can get it, the audio there as well. Mike, what time are we premiering?
It'll probably be up around like 9 a.m. or so.
Okay. There you go. You heard it from the man.
Our man, Mike right there. Mike.
Mike. Yeah. Give us a quick rundown, Mike.
First off, I ain't messing with OJ because anyone who comes close to his stats, look, OJ, you're great. I'm staying away from you.
What about me?
Chad, hold on, Mike.
I'll sip your ass. I thought I was the main character. Hold on.
Okay. Chad wants us to trade Tyreek Hill last year. Guy's under more league investigations than anyone in the history of the sport.
But you have a Tyreek autographed helmet behind you. Like, I don't know if we can trust your opinion.
Shula and Marino. Ain't no
there Tyreek. You go. There you go. Can't go with those, Mike. You don't have to worry about those.
I need an OJ one, but I don't want to curse, so I don't know if it should be in this room.
I think we can arrange it. Too good. Lots of fun. Mike, excited to be here, be a part of the Dolphins Talk family. And so you can catch us. If you can't get enough, you can catch us here. Fish Tank's still there. You can still get the Fish Tank Apple, Fish Tank Spotify, follow the Fish Tank YouTube channel. You're still going to get some original videos there as well. Just a whole lot of Fish Tank and a whole lot of Dolphins Talk.
Yeah, man. It's been great, man.
Brother.
Appreciate it, man. Great stuff, boys. And Mike, man, appreciate you. Safak, Chad, Big Seth, and everybody else. Thanks for diving in.
Time to dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolph fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you